Please be seated. Tonight is a night when we have all generations here, right? And we want to take a few minutes for the children that are here to just talk with them. And so our children's pastor, Stephanie, is going to come and children, come on up. And you know Steph, so just come and, we don't usually do this, but just come and join her, okay? All the kids, just come on up. It's all right.
Oh, yeah, we have one left there. Here, Aiden, you want to hold that?
Come on.
Hi, guys. Okay. How are we tonight?
Good.
We doing okay? You want to sit down? I want to sit down. Yeah? Do you guys remember what we've been talking about for a whole long time?
No.
No, you don't remember? Do you remember being on a journey to somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where are we going?
I don't know.
To Bethlehem, right? Are we going to Bethlehem? Have we been going for a long time?
Yeah.
Is that all we talk about? Right, Rise? Don't you think so? Yeah. Well, who's been helping us go on our journey? Do we have some of those people here tonight? Look. Who do we think? Maybe the prophet Isaiah. Do you remember him? Do you remember him? Because he told us that there would be a Messiah. Right? Which is the big word for Jesus. Do you remember that? And who else? Yeah, there were animals. Did we talk about the animals? And the donkeys, did they help people travel?
Yeah.
Who else was with us? Sheep. And who came with the sheep? The shepherds. Did they help us get to Bethlehem? Did they tell us about it? Yeah. Yeah. Who else was there? Joseph and Mary, right? Did they tell us about it too? And they were very obedient. And what did all these people have in common? Were they all waiting? Yeah, they were all waiting. And they waited a really long time, didn't they? Yeah? What do you think tonight is about? Who do you think we get to see tonight? Oh, yeah, look who I have. I picked the best one. Look, it's a little baby. Look, Finley, see him? We were looking for him earlier, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Jesus. And guess what? After all the waiting of all the years, all the way from the old Testament, all the way from the last whole month of Sunday school and thinking and waiting, what do we get to talk about tonight?
Jesus,
because guess what? He came. He came and he was born. Were you born? Were you born as a little baby? Who here was born as a baby? Yeah, right. That was pretty exciting, isn't it? Does anybody know a little baby? Anybody know a baby? Oh, yeah. See, I see one. You know baby. Look where she is. She's sitting right by you. Yeah. Yeah. And does anybody know people that are about to have babies? Do you know how that happens? Yeah, me, I know, right?
We have a lot of those.
And Miss Amanda and Miss Jenny. There's a lot of people about to have babies. And this was the most special baby of all. Do you know why? Because he would heal our hearts, right? And he would forgive our sins because he'd die for us. Isn't that the most exciting thing ever? So today is a pretty exciting day because now we're like done waiting. And we're just like, guess what? It's Christmas. Isn't that pretty exciting? Yeah, Christmas. Okay, so that's what I want you guys to think about. Yes, we are. I want you to think about that while Pastor Jay is talking, okay? You just think about this, okay? Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah. All right. Let's all go back to our seats. Yeah, you want to? Okay, you got Rice? Okay.
That's often the best sermon you'll hear tonight, maybe. Thank you, Stephanie. And it is a great night. Tonight or tomorrow, we'll gather with family and with friends to celebrate Christmas. Maybe you've already done that. And for some, that will be a wonderful time. For others, it will be complicated. Maybe even wonderful and complicated. But whatever the setting, there are traditions and realities that are handed down and received. Foods that are eaten, maybe you only eat them at this time of the year. Stories that are told, maybe about family members. Humorous, touching, maybe irritating. Do we have to hear that again? We have expectations, don't we, when we go into this time? Legends that surround our family histories, narratives that have grown up around Christmas celebrations, reaching back earlier into our lives, maybe when we were children like these, or even to generations past. These times are multi-layered. There's a lot going on. Well, what would it be like to cut through some of that tradition that's grown up in our own families? What if you could meet people in their prime who are no longer with us? To walk with them, to have a meal with them, to get them to know them as they were. I think about that with my grandfather who died when I was three. I have one little memory of him in my mind that's probably a memory of a memory of a memory. But I never really knew him. I've just heard the stories. But what would it be like to just get to know him? Or to meet ourselves in younger years? To encourage ourselves to say, don't do this, you'll regret it. Or just to enjoy times past as they were. If you've seen the latest Star Wars film, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you if you haven't, this is some of what's going on, though. Cutting through the nostalgia and the legends to explore who were Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and Han Solo, really, anyway? Were they real people? Well, this is our situation with the Christmas story, too. We remember it through long years, through many traditions and even legends that have sprung up around it. I mean, we know it was snowing in Bethlehem, right? We've heard that so many times, and we've sung it, and we'll sing it tonight, probably. That we often misread the text of Christmas and the Nativity through mottled lenses. And while we can't completely remove that tendency, and I think there's some good in it too, we have a chance each year to hear it afresh and to ask, what's really going on? What's important here? What was it like? Tradition isn't bad. As Anglicans, we certainly would say that. But dead tradition or false tradition is. One thing we see in Luke's account tonight, the Christmas story that we have had read to us and that we get to read this time every year, but also Matthew's account from his gospel, one thing we see is the unstable and the tentative nature of the world that was being played out through unjust and tyrannical rulers. Although we tend to associate the Pax Romana with Caesar Augustus, he had chosen as his first name Imperator, which means victorious commander. He had gained peace. He did have peace, but he gained it through military might, conquering the world through war, including Judea. And throughout the empire, there was always the threat of uprising and revolution, which had to be met with merciless strength. And then in Judea, there was Herod the Great and his son Archelaus, also in play around this time. Herod, who had murdered members of his own family. He also murdered many rabbis. He was a despot. And life for the Jews under his rule, who was under Rome's authority, was harsh and difficult. They were taxed exorbitantly to pay for his building projects through the region. And we can miss this reality in our sentimental readings of Christmas. Jesus came into a world that was deeply conflicted, troubled, unjust, violent, and financially insecure. They were hard times. And in many ways, the world hasn't changed much. We can connect with Christmas and God's coming to earth in the form of a baby because he comes to a world that we know only too well. A place of insecurity for many, troubled, violent, and desperate for hope We tend to romanticize Christmas to make it beautiful, warm, and nice. And, you know, certainly God's presence transforms what he touches. That is the good news. But it helps to be honest about the kind of world Jesus entered and know that God did not wait until things were better for more peaceful times. Because you know what? They weren't coming. He came in the fullness of time, the scriptures tell us, when the world was most at need. Athanasius of Alexandria, writing several hundred years after the birth of Jesus, said, "The Lord did not come to make a display. He came to heal and to teach suffering men." For one who wanted to make a display, the thing would have been just to appear and dazzle the beholders. But for him who came to heal and touch and teach, the way was not merely to dwell here, but to put himself at the disposal of those who needed him. The first Christmas was an event in a troubled time, in an unsettled and violent world, among people who were desperate for hope. The second point that strikes me, and there are many, but I just have two tonight, is the simple observation that Luke makes when he says there was no room for them. Whether the text reads at the inn or a guest room, which it can kind of go either way, the Holy Family faced dislocation. And I don't think it was anybody sort of singling them out, a mean innkeeper, because likely they were not alone. Probably many people could not find room in Bethlehem. This was a small village, and people had been called back from generations in order to follow through on this census and this registration. I mean, I know what would happen if just my kids and their spouses and my grandkids came home to spend a night at our house, and that is, they would end up on the couches, on the floor, that sort of thing. So it's likely that impossible. They were in a crowded space with other people and animals when Jesus was born. It speaks to the humble surroundings of his birth, but even more to the fact that Jesus began his earthly life away from home. In fact, the incarnation itself is a story of leaving home and seeking home. Jesus leaves the Father to enter humanity, is born away from the home of his parents, is sent into exile as a refugee in order for his life to be spared, and then carries out his ministry traveling from place to place. In Luke 9, a man approaches Jesus and he says he wants to follow him. Jesus must look at something in this man's heart when he answers, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus does seem to have had a more or less secure upbringing in Nazareth, but other than that, his life is one of movement, one for whom there was no room. I think that's an important reality for a church that is sort of looking for home, right? Christmas comes to us this year when over 60 million people have been forced from their homes across the world by war, poverty, or disease. Born 80 miles away from his family's home in Nazareth, perhaps a week's journey, Jesus enters a world that's in dislocation and forced migration. It's a world like ours. And it's important for us to make this connection because for all of the things that we think about refugees and our fears about them, and I get that, it's Mary and Joseph who are sitting in the midst of that boat when it comes ashore. It's Jesus the Christ child who could have been that child who drowned on the shore that we saw the picture of that was sent around the world. You see, Jesus is born as the Messiah, the fulfillment of long promise that was held for ages. Yet God's people were often strangers, weren't they? And wanderers and sojourners. And because of that, they were told to honor strangers well and to care for them. The Benedictine monks throughout the centuries have received strangers as though they are Christ himself. And on this Christmas night, as we worship the child born away from home on the road and soon to be on the run for his life. We want to honor God in our actions and the way we treat others. As we receive the Christ child, the king born in a town where there was no room. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, writing about Christmas, said, "God travels wonderful ways with human beings." But he commented that travel's not always what we think it is. He does travel with us, but he leads us to the lowly. Quoting, "He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak and broken." You see, Jesus doesn't just step into our humanity generally as a kind of theology, as a doctrine. He's born into a world that is troubled and restless, and he enters it. He desires to be born in our hearts and lives as well, that are also troubled and restless. Will he find room there? We may not be refugees far from our home, although some of us here might be, but we are wanderers and restless, and we need to be found and brought home again. And we find that our true home is in him. He has come, and he sojourns with us, that we might no longer be nomads and wanderers, but instead pilgrims. Christmas is not far away. It's not something only for legend or sentimental memory or sappy songs. It's truly about the one who entered our world, a real world, so that we could be brought home back to the Father and find peace in our day, as the angels and shepherds were told. Writing in the Chicago Tribune yesterday, John Cass, who I always read John Cass, he offered this about Christmas. He says, "For all who feel lost and tired and worry that the hour is too late for them to return, remember, tonight is the night of new hope, and the door is always open. Just reach for it and see." Amen.